Welcome to the Overtime Podcast with Kristen Bry, me, Steve Scafidi, you.
Yes.
Which, if you're new here, this is the time that we spend a little extra time beyond Point Taken, our live radio show.
We literally just got off the show.
To talk about, I guess, kind of whatever we want, stuff that didn't make it into today's show. And so when this World Cup started, Steve, where were you on, like, enthusiasm, excitement?
I was excited.
You were excited.
Because it was here. Yeah, it was here.
Okay.
Yeah, we were hosting the games.
Has it grown throughout the tournament?
Well, it grew as the U.S. team progressed to the, you know, we call it the Sweet 16, the final 16 teams, round of 16. Then after that, I kind of,
Now you don't care as much.
No, I mean, whoever wins, I'm happy for them. I've been in countries where they've won, and it's very exciting. And I of course, picked Spain and... France.
Oh, you did pick
Spain. I picked France. I want to correct myself. I picked France, and they got beat by Spain.
They got beat yesterday, yeah.
And now I'm cheering for England.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so my home country.
Who am I cheering for? I think I want Spain. Of who's left? Because we're filming this on Wednesday before the Argentina-England game.
Mm-hmm.
I now hope Spain wins, I think. That is my go-to.
And just personally, I will be in Spain in January, so hopefully they win, and I can celebrate
there
with them.
There you go.
Yeah.
So why are we talking about this? Because I think there has been... I mean, the numbers are crazy for how many people have been watching this World Cup in the U.S., right?
As good as it gets.
As good as it gets, especially compared to, obviously, the reigning king of the NFL in America.
Yeah.
And so the question that keeps coming up is, why can a country as big as America or the United States not field a better team than we have for the men's team? Obviously, the women's team has a very glorified history.
Yeah.
And... there's been a lot of chatter, both think pieces on different outlets, on social media. I found this one, and I just wanted to have a discussion about it, because obviously a lot of this comes back to not the enthusiasm for the sport, but how much it costs to play it in America. So let's watch this clip quickly.
The real reason America can't compete at the World Cup has nothing to do with how much we love the game and everything to do with our system being completely broken. The U.S. has 2.5 million registered youth male soccer players. That's more than all the countries highlighted here combined, but in all of these countries, parents pay just about $150 a year. Here's how it works in Europe. If a kid shows talent, a scout finds him. These scouts are paid full-time to watch thousands of games per year. They bring the kid into the club's academy, which pays for everything. This works especially well for the lower class. For example, Wayne Rooney grew up dirt poor in Liverpool, but scouts found him at 8 years old, and he became England's captain. It couldn't be more different in America. Sure, rec soccer cost a few $100, but travel soccer jumps to roughly $6,000. Now, if a kid is good enough to play elite club soccer, families have to shell out $8,000 to $15,000 a year on all the different line items you see on screen. Some families reportedly spend upwards of $25,000 a year. Now, beyond the cash, this is a huge time investment for parents who already have full-time jobs. Here's the solution. After Germany finished last at the 2,000 euros, they decided it was time to get serious. They built 390 regional training bases across the country to make sure one was within 25 kilometers of every kid in the country. They hired 1,200 full-time coaches, invested 48 million euro per year, and mandated that every pro club build a certified youth academy or lose its license. The cost to families was zero, and 14 years later, 21 of the 23 players who won the World Cup came directly out of that system. Now, immediately, the pushback is always, MLS academies are free, and they are for the 17,000 kids in the program. The U.S. has 2.5 million registered male players, though, so just 0.6 of the playing population is on the Euro model. Also, those academies only exist in MLS cities. If you're a talented kid in rural Kansas or small-town Mississippi, the free pathway doesn't exist. You're either paying or you're not playing. Lucky for America, though, the blueprint exists. Germany proved it, and until America adopts it, the results of the World Cup will be the same.
Reactions to that. Immediate reactions, I guess.
A couple things. One, our legacy in soccer and football, as they call it in the rest of the world, is not as long as some of the countries he's referring to. Two, if the magic is having a system of developing players sponsored by governments, women didn't need that. They won 4 World Cups. Like, why did they succeed in the same environment that men had?
What's interesting there is an inverse as far as, because in the last women's World Cup, the U.S. women's team didn't make it to the finals, right? Like, they were out lot earlier.
You can't win every World Cup.
No, I know, but it's also, I remember a lot of the analysis of that is other countries' women's programs catching up to what the U.S. women's program had been. And so now there is a more competitive playing field versus the U.S. trying to catch up with the male teams and the male programs in some of these other countries. But so that's what I would say there as far as why it's been more successful, because there was a bigger investment specifically for women in the U.S. versus other countries.
Because there was none before, yes. Basically. Women got shunned in most sports, and obviously things changed for that.
Did you see that there's there's going to be a new documentary about an unofficial Women's World Cup that happened in like 1971 in Brazil, and then they just like erased it? It's a new Apple I think it's Apple documentary. I just saw a preview for it. It looks amazing. Anyways, go ahead.
The government having, essentially that's what he's talking about, is having a system in place where you find young players, you develop them, you have a stronger national team because you've put all the time, energy, and money into that. I'm not opposed to it, but it's the same argument we make about a lot of things. Where is this extra money coming from? Now, I have an answer to the question because it's obvious. Sponsors. We have mega companies. We have AI companies. We have sporting good companies. We have clothing companies. You tell me that they wouldn't be fully invested with some sort of a link between, all right, we'll put it in the front end, but then at the end result, when we're in the round of 16, round of 8, to the finals, we get to have, a demonstration of our product line. I think that's an easy sell. So it could be a public-private, which is a perfect example. I agree we got to do something because the men's team is dismal.
Well, I mean— They made it to the knockout.
I mean, as far as winning World Cup.
But as far as, I think in comparison to the athletes we could be producing, but this is an issue that not just for soccer, right? I saw criticism of this for the most recent NBA draft of
all the players coming from other places.
All these players who are coming from means, not even from other places in other countries, but as far as like the new era of our quote unquote best athletes and who are becoming professional athletes. Are kids who are coming from the means and having parents who could actually pay for them to get to that point versus the stories of like a LeBron, right? And so of the bygone era, unless you are lucky enough to have some kind of patron or sponsor, and I don't mean a corporate sponsor, I just mean someone who like sees your talent and can help pay for you to be part of these programs. But in like, what are we missing as a country if we continue to only have sports for those who can shell out what are some people's annual income?
Yeah, I wouldn't go all the way there because talent still shines out. There are still great examples in all the sports, including Major League Baseball, where very poor players from other countries, from this country.
Yeah, but they're in programs, right? Like Venezuela, but the reason both the Contreras brothers are here is because they were in a MLB training program.
But that's not absolute. There are examples outside of the programs. Now, I will agree with you. That in, and I know this very well because my grandkids are in these things. Baseball, youth baseball, is much different than when I played. There were not the traveling teams. There wasn't the investment. You basically got a jersey if your sponsor bought you a jersey. You had one bat, your favorite bat that you bought, your parents bought for you. You lucky if you had a pair of new spikes every year. Otherwise, you wear the same ones and hopefully they fit. That reality has changed. And that's sort of, you can put that on different generations, different look. I think we highlight sports more than we used to, maybe in a different way, or in a different way is probably more accurate. Parents seem to be more connected. I'll give you the classic example, again, about my own life. My dad would not go to every practice. My dad barely went to every game. My dad used to say, I'll see you at the All-Star game. And that's when he showed up. Does it make him a bad parent? No, he let the kid be the kid. We managed ourselves in many ways. It's not like that anymore. I went to a game this Saturday in a tournament for my grandson, Max. They have 5 coaches. On a 10-year-old team.
What do they all do? What do all the coaches do?
Oh, they all have their, specialties. I would argue it's overcoaching times 20, but
are they paid or are they
volunteer? No, all volunteer. Which is great. It's too much. So if you look at this model, which we played the clip, I think there's a lot of opportunity, but again, you don't fund it with just government. Public-private seems to be the answer to a lot of things.
But I guess the question then comes back to is like, what is worth the investment? Like, what is the payout? Because I think about this a lot with how the breakout star team of Cape Verde, right? Of the only team so far to have not been beaten by Spain because they tied with Spain,
exactly.
Right? And my first thought I had as this like sweetheart team and this Cinderella story came to be was here's this island off the coast of Africa that a lot of us had never even heard of before. And now estimates as far as what their tourism is going to be is like billions of dollars, right? As far as they had to gain by having this team do well in the World Cup. My question is, on like a very baseline, bottom line level, is we know as far as the investment in youth sports being good for individuals because it teaches a lot of character and all these different things, and that it shouldn't be just be for people who can afford it. But as far as a country goes, a country being the United States, what do we have to gain by having a better soccer team?
You mentioned it. You mentioned the obvious economic one for a country that's going to increase their tourism. National pride.
Awareness. Is it the immeasurable, qualitative measurement of, like, rooting for our team, national pride?
Yeah. You think anyone's talking about Cape Verde if they didn't do as well as they did against Spain?
No, absolutely. I would say, I don't know if, like, we already, well, not right now, but as far as tourism goes, it's already a destination. It's not like where it's like not like doing world like well in the World Cup. Men's World Cup's going to put us on the map.
Yeah, but look how amazing it was the times the women won the World Cup and how we were all, I was proud of them. Look how many young girls decided to take up soccer. Mm-hmm. Those programs exploded. Not just the traveling team stuff, which is a whole other conversation because it's a unique environment. But in high schools, they added programs. They added facilities. My high school, Oak Creek Franklin School District, Oak Creek High School, they have tremendous soccer facilities now. They didn't have those 20 years ago. I have to directly link the success of the Women's World Cup teams, the fact that they won those championships, to what's changed for women. So you want to cause and effect? That's an obvious one. And I think for girls, most girls are never going to be at that level. But to have a moment of pride in high school where you're the conference champs or you go to states, I know so many people in my family and friends' families who won state championships in sports, they still talk about them. In my case, 50 years ago. That's the best example.
I mean, that's me kind of playing devil's advocate because you don't have to convince me. I think I've demonstrated how much I care about sports. You know what's also an interesting thing to learn as far as just the public access to sports and what it can do for turnout? Walney Legal. Shout out to Walney Legal.
Yeah, yeah.
So
great partners of ours.
So Ito, big hockey family, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember talking about this with him and the difference. So if you compare Wisconsin to Minnesota and professional athletes that have come out of both states, from the same climate, about the same population, NBA, about the same, give or take, maybe like 30 more professional NBA players from Wisconsin than Minnesota.
Right.
MLB, about the same. NHL, it's not even close, right? Like, by far and away, Minnesota has produced the most NHL players. And compared to Wisconsin, it is, like, laughable what the difference is.
Some people would argue that Wisconsin's hockey teams are better, their college hockey team, because of those Minnesota players.
Well, we were talking about it, and what I didn't realize is in Minnesota and Canada, hockey is treated like a public utility.
Absolutely.
Right? Like the hockey rinks are available for the public and they are open for you like a basketball court at a park, right? And so it takes that and someone's paying for it, right? Someone's paying keep the ice cold and keep
it
frozen.
It's popular, so they don't mind paying for it.
And because the access for any kid to go be able to skate, granted you still need to be able to, it's still an expensive sport as far as the equipment that you need, but there is something to be said as far as what can be created when you give free availability to any kid to go play, and what that does obviously in the output of like professional athletes.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's just like something in the water in Minnesota that like they're more capable of being good hockey players in any other state.
Think about the ethnicity of the state of Minnesota because I worked there for 20 years. Where do those people come from? Scandinavia. The very example that was alluded to that those countries are doing it the right way. No surprise, Minnesota, a lot of those people have that background. They celebrate hockey. It is a state sport. It is something, I know the Vikings are very popular, but that's their thing. High school hockey, all the levels, they love it. And that's why I do agree with the idea of developing some sort of a system. How we pay for it, we can work that out. We do amazing things in this country, but if we want to be good at the World Cup for men and women, got to start figuring this stuff out because no one wants to just get to the 16 and then that's the best we can do.
Can we at least agree that private equity should not have a role in youth sports?
Yeah, because they wreck things. They blow things up. They tear things apart. That's their motto. Don't do that.
Agreed.
Yeah.
All right. What do we have to pitch right now?
Listen to the show.
Listen to Point Taken.
Check out our newsletter. Just text 855-616-1620. Extra points. We got bonus content this week.
This week, yeah.
My Sal Frelick interview.
So you can only available. You can only get it on the newsletter. So if you want to listen to Steve's fun podcast with Sal Frelick, subscribe to the newsletter.
How do they get a hold of us?
You can email me at kbrey@goodkarmabrands.com.
Steve Daskafidi, 2F1D at WTMJ.com. We do it every Wednesday, and we get it out there as soon as we can. We always have extra things to talk about.
Never a lack of things to talk about, that's for sure.
Go USA.
Go USA.
And go Spain, perhaps, or England. We'll see what happens.
Actually, speaking of poor kids, the star, the 17 or 18-year-old star from Spain, dirt poor.
Yeah. So maybe we cheer for Spain.
We'll cheer for Spain.
Thanks for watching.